In the following homily, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Sanctity in Our Times. Father Hardin.
Saint Pius X, whose feast we celebrate today, would want us to say something, not so much about him, but about what he did in its meaning for us. Today is almost the exact anniversary of his death. He died on August the 20th, 1914, from all reports of a broken heart over the outbreak of the First World War, which he tried to avert unsuccessfully and foresaw the tragedy that would befall so many nations. There are many titles by which this Pope has since come to be known. He was, we might remind ourselves, the first Pope in 400 years to be canonized. Evidently, becoming Pope is not the easiest way of becoming a saint. He has been called, appropriately, the Pope of Children. He is also known as the Pope of the Eucharist. He is called the Great Defender of the Faith in modern times, and as we should recall, he is also the Pope of the liturgy. He merited the title of the Pope of Children because of his great love, like his master, for the young. He knew, as a barefooted boy that used to walk miles to school every day, he carried his shoes over his back to save the shoes. He was so poor. Then, as a parish priest, for years, he saw that the hope of the Church lies in the young. That is why, in 2 years after he became Pope, he began a series of legislation which has changed the course of Catholic history. He insisted that children from the dawn of reason be not only allowed, but be expected to make their first confession and their first Holy Communion. How that mind of Pius X needs to be recalled today. When in one diocese after another, incredibly, children are all but forbidden to make their first confession. Some 12 days ago, while I was giving a retreat in San Francisco, I flew for one day to Chicago, then returned to finish the retreat, to open a chapter of a large Franciscan community. while there in the few hours that I had in Chicago, the parents called me up asking whether I would not hear Mary's monthly confession. I said, sure. To do so, I skipped lunch. What a welcome sacrifice. I heard Mary's first confession 4 months ago because her parish priest refused to do so. I received her father into the church about 10 years ago. The mother asked if I would do what the pastor would not do. This is today in Chicago. Having heard her first confession, she feels she's got a regular confessor. Whenever I'm in Chicago, even as in this case for less than 24 hours, I hear her confession. Pius X insisted that children need the grace of both sacraments early. He was also the one who began throughout the world what we now call the confraternity of Christian doctrine. Again, what a desperate need for children to be given sound Catholic education. One of his remarks that I've quoted many times, he believed that most people who, as we say, lose the faith or leave the church don't do so out of bad will, but for lack of a sound Catholic education. Pray that priests especially might be responsive to their duty in teaching the young and bringing them Jesus in Holy Communion, and sit for long hours hearing the peccadilloes of young children. Pius X was par excellence the Pope of the Eucharist. Besides bringing Christ early to the young, he was the one, and this year is the 70th anniversary, because in 1905, he passed the resolution, which then became law, that all Catholics are to receive communion frequently. And he defined frequently by saying daily. Daily communion in the Catholic Church in modern times is due almost single-handedly to St. Pius X. Again, the importance of us appreciating the gift we have in receiving the Savior daily. I have been reading the life of St. Teresa of Avila. One of the reasons she reformed Carmel was because in her community, and this was very common, the religious received only on the major feasts of the year. It was an awful innovation which raised a storm of protest when she insisted on her sisters receiving every Sunday. Pius the Tenth brought back, and how wisely he did so, and just in the nick of time. Because, as he knew and as he said, in the early church, the church of martyrs, communion was received daily. He foresaw that his reign would be the dawn of the age of martyrs. So it is. More men and women have shed their blood for Christ since 1900 than in all the 1900 years put together before. To be a good priest, a good religious, a good Catholic layman or laywoman today requires the courage of martyrdom. I just received a letter yesterday from a woman whom I've met once from New York State, informing me what publicly one of the ranking theologians in a public speech said about your speaker. Unquotable. We need Christ's body in ours daily to give us the strength of our convictions in the faith. Pope St. Pius X was a great defender of the faith. He merited this title as few popes for the last 400 years deserve it, because he condemned modernism, and again just in time, because what was born of two ex-priests, to my sorrow an ex-Jesuit, George Tyrrell, and a French biblical scholar by the name of Loisy, both prolific writers, heroes in their day, the founders of modernism. Pope Pius X, in the teeth of much opposition, especially from the then learned world, condemned it as not merely the heresy, but as the seed of all heresies. He called it in biblical language venom. So it was. And it is this modernism that is so tragically destroying the faith of, I am afraid, millions today. The claim that faith is not belief in what God revealed, that it is a purely subjective experience, natural, built-in, sentiment if you wish, emotion if you prefer, or mental speculation, but don't say the faith has got to agree with something that God revealed. He condemned it and required of every priest who teaches theology to take the oath against modernism. Pray especially through Pius X's merits for those who teach theology, that they might teach the truth, and not, as I have to sorrowfully admit, not infrequently teach the untruth. Finally, St. Pius X began the modern liturgical movements. It was he who revised in so many ways the Eucharistic liturgy and totally revised the divine office. Not inappropriately, for the divine office reading today, of all things, to quote from Pius X, he wrote much from his constitution revising the divine office, hoping that all the faithful would recite at least part of this divine office daily. What an apostolate for us religious to be such devotees of the liturgy of the hours, taste its sweetness, recognize its fruit, and profit from the graces that this sacred prayer confers, that we shall evangelize everyone who enters our lives to say at least some of this office daily. There could not be a nobler apostolate. Because if there is one thing which the Church of God needs today, it is praying people. People who pray. And what better prayer than that which the Church, building on Revelation, has as many of her faithful as possible and prescribes on her priests and religious, that they are saying together throughout the world. There is a lot to thank Pius X for. There is a lot to ask him for. Let us thank him for all he has given us, individually and collectively. Let's ask for our present Holy Father that I might walk courageously in the footsteps of his predecessor and give us corresponding courage to teach the truth, to live the truth. And we don't know, it may be to die for the truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.